This is Paul's Missionary Journeys, Part 6. It's the second missionary journey, which is Part 3. So I'll stand for Acts 17:26, just the first part. And hath made of one all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. You may be seated. I hope this sermon gets you to think. Search it out. Be a Berean. And the first thing I'm talking about shocked me. According to an old and a new Gallup poll, which asked the following question. Do you approve or disapprove of marriage between black people and white people? The results have changed drastically in the 63 years they have asked this question. In 1958, 4% of Americans approved of interracial marriages between black and whites, while 94% disapproved. 1958. In 2021, 94% of Americans approved of interracial marriages between black and whites, while 4% disapproved. What happened in the last 63 years? In 1958, I was 16 years old and a sophomore and later a junior in high school. I am now 82 years old, and the approval-disapproval category has completely flip-flopped. 90% more adults approve of miscegenation than before. Here is a chart which measures the increases of approval over time between 1958 and 2021. Over here, the approval was 4%, 1958. 1967 is when the Supreme Court made it legal. About 18% in 20. Is that 29, 36, 43, 48? Big jump here, 1997 to 2000, to 64, 65, 76, 79, 87, 94. My goodness gracious, what happened? Well, I have an idea what happened. The most common form of interracial marriage in the United States is between a white person and a Hispanic. Next most common is an Asian person married to a white, followed by black-white couples. That's kind of surprising. And here we have a map of the United States. Of the brown states, there's four or five of them up here. Date when anti-miscegenation laws were overturned. Well, they were always for miscegenation up there. And then gradually before the war between the states, 1989, look at these yellow states, had anti-miscegenation laws. Do you think that what happened to the churches in America in the last 60 years has had much influence on the decision of its members on this question? Do you think that what Christendom today believes about what the Apostle Paul taught in his sermon in Athens, Greece, has changed their opinion on race mixing? Do you think that America's churches, which used to have the most segregated time in the nation when they held their weekly Sunday service, have changed the members' attitudes on this question? I believe that it has. And in this sermon, I will give my opinion on what Christendom has begun to teach in the last couple of generations that is wrong, which has usurped the mind of its congregants. Paul's sermon in Athens. Half of one verse, as quoted at the start of this sermon, is all that most of Christendom ever hears from the Apostle Paul's sermon that he gave on Mars Hill in Athens. What they don't tell their congregants is that Paul was by himself, as he had been very quickly put on a ship in Berea, while the other missionaries on his journey were left behind. This happened because the Jews, have you noticed that it's always them? Why is this? Had traveled from Thessalonica to Berea for the intense purpose of causing either bodily harm or death to the Apostle Paul. Paul's brethren paid the fare for him to sail to Athens, while the rest of Paul's assistants were to meet him in Athens. But they had to travel 275 miles over land. While Paul waited in Athens for the arrival of his fellow laborers, his spirit was stirred, it says in Acts 17:16, as he saw that the city was wholly given over to idolatry. So he began having discussions with the Judeans and other philosophers and peoples in the synagogue in the marketplace. After a short time and much discussion, his listeners decided to take him to Mars Hill for a dialogue of this new doctrine that he was preaching about Jesus and his resurrection. There are only 9.5 more verses that are recorded in the Bible in his speech that lasted who knows how long. We will look at the next two verses, Acts 17:26, and see if these two verses agree with or in contradiction to what Christian says that verse 26 teaches. Here are the two verses that follow verse 26. But they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. Christendom believes that half of one verse that Paul spoke to the Athenians means that all individuals in the world, estimated at 8 billion with the B, are descended from the same source, that is Adam and Eve. And since that is true, they say that all races of the world are related to each other. And since all nations of men, Acts 17:26, are all the same race, that is, the human race, there is no such thing as an interracial marriage. So, they conclude that there is no marriage between the races that is wrong, if they are both Christian. But can a non-Adamite be a Christian? Christendom believes that anyone on the earth can be a Christian. Now, 17% of Americans are involved in mixed marriages, and they are rapidly increasing. What does Acts 17:27-28 teach? The next two verses, immediately after verse 26, will give us an indication of who Paul's listeners were. Paul wasn't speaking to every race of the world. He was speaking to the Athenians in Greece, Acts 17:22. There were no Orientals, Incas, Mayas, New Guinea savages, Zulus, Filipinos, Koreans, etc. that were living there. These two verses contain 8 pronouns, with 2 of them repeated 2 times and 1 repeated 3 times and these two verses. The eight pronouns are they, which is used twice, your, us, we, used twice, our, him, used three times, he, and his. The easiest pronouns to translate would be the pronouns him, he, and his. The noun that is replaced by these pronouns are found in the beginning of verse 27, the Lord. That was easy. Now for the harder part. What does the phrase face of the earth mean? But before we try to understand what nouns the rest of the five pronouns represent, we will first look at the phrase in verse 26. All nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. What does this phrase mean? Most of Christendom believes that it means all nations or people who dwell on the entire planet of the earth. But is this correct? Let's look at five of the many places in the Bible where this phrase is given. In other words, let the Bible interpret itself. Genesis 4:14, part A. Behold, thou hast driven me, referring to Cain, out this day from the face of the earth. Does this mean Cain was driven off from the planet earth? Genesis 6:1. And it came to pass when men, referring to Adamites, began to multiply on the face of the earth. Does this mean that the Adamites began to spread over the entire earth? Genesis 7:4. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I, the Lord God, have made, will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Does this mean that every living substance, except those on the ark, was destroyed in the entire earth? Genesis 11:8. So the Lord scattered them, Noah's sons, descendants, from thence, the Tower of Babel, upon the face of all the earth. Does this mean that Noah's sons, descendants, were scattered into the earth? Well, we got a little map. The descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem is purple. They're down here. Here, 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 here. Abraham was here. Ham is these people. And Japheth. That's not the entire earth. Exodus 10, 14, 15a, and the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coast of Egypt. Very grievous for they. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such, for they covered the face of the whole earth. Does this mean that the locusts covered the entire earth? Does Genesis 4:14 say that God drove Cain from off the planet earth? No, for that would make no sense. And besides, he stayed on the earth, Genesis 4:14. But there is no doubt that the interpretation of this verse is wrong from the way it is translated. Both sides agree that it's the wrong interpretation of this verse. Look at how over half of the Bible translations translate this verse, including the New King James Bible. Surely you, the Lord God, have driven me, Cain, out this day from the face of the ground or soil. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. Cain was originally a farmer. For his punishment, God told him that his farming days would no longer be successful. Therefore, Cain's descendants today are not farmers. They own pawn shops, jewelry stores, furniture and luggage stores, restaurants, movie production studios, are in politics, and oversee money lending, usury institutions, etc., etc. The commentators corrected their interpretation of the phrase in Genesis 4:14, and they should also correct the phrase in other places too, as this is the wrong interpretation of this translation and has misled a lot of Christians. So what is the meaning of face of the earth in Genesis 7:26? Same as the ones in the verses given above. And have made of one all nations of men, Adamites, to dwell on the land that God gave to his people. What do the other pronouns mean? Who was the Apostle Paul addressing in his sermon in the city of Athens? First, who do the pronouns they and your represent? I believe that these two pronouns in verses 27 and 28 represent all nations of men in verse 26. There is no disagreement with who these two pronouns represent. Both sides agree that it's all nations of men, who were the descendants of the three sons of Noah in Genesis 10. The three sons were Japheth, Shem, and Ham. The disagreement is who the sons of Noah represent. Christendom says that the eight individuals of the family of Noah were the only individuals who were on the entire earth in 2200 BC. I'm going to repeat that. Christendom says that the eight individuals of the family of Noah were the only individuals who were on the entire earth in 2200 BC. And these eight individuals had a skin tone that was probably mid-brown, and they were of one race. They say that from these three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, were to come all the nations of the world. Somehow, the different races all came from this one race. Therefore, all the individuals of the world are of the same race. They are all equal. So Christopher concludes, there's no such thing as interracial marriage. Well, we say that Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives were the only white people on the earth. But there were many other races as well as empires who survived Noah's flood and were living on all the different continents of the world where the deadly flood did not occur. But the flood was a very unusual storm. For after the flood, the lifespan of the descendants of Adam began to lower to eventually 1/10 of the pre-flood days. The flood annihilated all the white race except for Noah's family. Only the white people are the descendants of Noah's sons. One of the descendants of Shem, Abram, was chosen by God to make an everlasting covenant with, and the covenant would also extend also to one of his sons, Isaac, and to one of his grandsons, Jacob, Israel, and his seed. These people were called by God to be a special people unto himself. They were to be separated from all the other races, and therefore interracial marriages are very wrong. Now that is a big difference. Eight people are millions of people and individuals. One race are many races. White people left in the world with a host of races dwelling throughout the world. A worldwide flood, or a flood that was only in a certain part of the earth. Interracial marriages are okay. Interracial marriages are sinful. both statements about what happened cannot be correct. What about the empires? But if you only have eight people in all the world 4,300 years ago, that's 2300 BC, when the worldwide flood started, that will mean that there were no other people on the entire earth. But if you look at history books, or if you plug in, for example, on your phone or computer, put Notre Chico Empire on google.com, you will find that Notre Chico Empire, the oldest empire of the Americas, that began around 5,000 years ago, that's 3,000 BC, there is no mention of them all drowning 700 years later when Noah's flood occurred. It preceded the Mayas and Incas and was in modern-day Peru. They were located on the other side of the world. Its empire ended in 1800 BC, and you can see the location of this empire on the map below. There it is right there. There's other empires. The Egyptian Empire began about 5,150 years ago. That's 3,150 BC, or about 850 years before Noah's flood. But there's no mention of all of them drowning in Noah's flood either. In fact, history just says that they continued with no break. The empire ended in 30 BC. Then there was the Indus Valley Empire that began 4,500 years ago. That's 2,550 BC in modern-day Pakistan. About 150 years before Noah's flood, the Christian says drowned everyone in the world. It ended in 1,550 BC. And the Arcadian Empire ruled Mesopotamia between the years 4,300 to 4,100 years ago. That'll be 2,300 to 2,100 BC. They say that it began when Noah's flood began. Which view is right? Christendom can argue that the dates are wrong, but they must come up with another reason to explain how there could be all these empires ruled by different races in different parts of the world if there were only eight people of the same race in Iraq. That's a huge problem for them to answer. Let's continue. Who do they and your represent? The they and your pronouns would represent the Athenians during Paul's visit, who were descended from Javan, the son of Japheth, the son of Noah. They were the Adamic people who settled around ancient Archaea, or modern-day southern Greece. Let's look at the map again. J-A-V-A-N. Green. Japheth. You also see Ashkenaz up here. And Ashkenaz here. They eventually became Jews. About 90% of the Jews are from these two tribes. They must have intermarried. Oh my goodness. And you'll see the Gomer and Javans up here in Europe. Well, Christendom doesn't mention very often, I didn't find any place where they mentioned that many of the Athenians were descended from Javan, the son of Japheth, but they would agree that this is true. But they would not say that they were white, but they would agree that they were in southern Greece. But before they migrated to Greece, they were at the building of the Tower of Babel. All the descendants of Noah, 100 years after the flood of Noah had subsided, were building the tower, which was located at Babel in modern-day Iraq, 2200 BC. All the people at the Tower of Babel were dispersed into other lands on the earth because the Lord had changed their one language into many others. And the people who spoke the same new language gathered together and went to their own separate lands. Notice, Christendom remained silent and does not mention that they believe there were no Chinese, Japanese, Indians, New Guinea or other savages, or Australian or American Aborigines, no Peruvians, no Negroes, no Caucasians, no Pacific Islanders, no Koreans, no Kenites, descendants of Cain, or whites, etc., who existed on the earth at this time. Most of their congregants don't even know about this issue. They only believe that there were just 8 mid-brown people of Noah's family alive 4,200 years ago. The continents of Asia, most of Europe and Africa, North, Central, South America, Australia, New Zealand, were all empty of any empires, countries, or populace. But how did the Norte Chico Empire in South America occur at the same time if there are only 8 people located on the other side of the earth? Do you think that this is a big contradiction? We say that the Bible is the story of only Israel and its genetic enemy. The fact it does not mention the other nations does not mean that they did not exist, but that didn't have anything to do with what happened to Israel. Now, the last 3 pronouns. The rest of the inhabitants of Athens were mainly from 3 groups. These 3 groups are very seldom, if ever, discussed in Christendom today. 2 of the groups are Israelites. The us, we, and our were of this group. They were descendants of Shem, one of the 3 sons of Noah. They are identified as being the same as Paul's heritage, Israelites, Romans 11:1. They were Judeans of the house of Judah, who had migrated to Syria, Asia Minor, Greece, and Italy from the time Zerah, one of the 5 sons of Judah, and his family left Egypt when Joseph was 2nd in command. Many others migrated through Israel's history in the centuries when they lived in the Promised Land, and others migrated from the countries which had captured them and made them slaves. The other group of Israelites were from the dispersed, divorced former house of Israel. They migrated for over 700 years, about the same distance that Jabin did to get to Greece, as well as other European territories. They migrated to all parts of Europe from the Assyrian Empire and from other nations that had conquered them in their disobedient past. Then we got a map. In the Apocrypha, 2 Ezra 13, 40-48, we are told how some of the 10 tribes escaped from Assyrian control via the upper Euphrates Valley. They went, that's Asia Minor, isn't it? Later, they became notorious in Asia Minor when they overthrew King Midas of Phrygia. Then we got another map. After the fall of the Assyrian capital, Nineveh, in 612 BC, the main body of Scythian Israelites came under such pressure from the Medes that they were forced northwards through the Caucasus Mountains into the steppe region of Russia. Caucasus Mountains. Russia, Scythia, Black Sea, Caspian Sea. As wave a wave of these people were forced through the Caucasus Mountains, the leaders crossed the rivers Don and Dnieper and met the Sumerian Israelite groups. Now there's the Don River and there's the Dnieper River that crossed. Moved across the Black Sea, thus pushing them westward along the valley of the Danube in Central Europe. There was a fourth group of people who were in Athens who were the product of interracial marriages. They're known as mongrels. They were the offspring of some of the descendants of Japheth, Shem, and Ham, who had sexual relations and offspring with either the descendants of Cain, Canaan, and or Esau. Christendom denies this. They do not believe in such a thing as interracial marriages. In addition, the Hittites, another Canaanite nation, had a major empire in Asia Minor and Syria from 1400 to 1200 BC. There were many of their descendants in Asia Minor where Paul made his missionary journeys there. Others, Kenites, Canaanites, Edomites, were race mixed with other non-Adamic nations as well. They are today known as being Jews. What a group. And here I got another map. The Dysphoria during the Hellenistic period, that's the Greek period. Rout of Jews from Palestine, 301 to 63 BC. Oh, they're going up here. Syria, Asia Minor, Greece, and Egypt. But today, America is a whole lot worse than our forefathers were, as it is extremely proud of the fact that their country is the melting pot of the entire world. It has practically every race in the world, including over 20 million illegal immigrants now dwelling in our country. There's no mention of any descendants of Ham, the third son of Noah, being in Athens at this time Paul was there. Ham settled in Egypt and other places in Africa and the Middle East. There could have been a few Hamites who were there, but there wasn't enough, if any, to be significant. To review, there were four main groups of men, individuals, that Paul addressed in Athens. Men from Javan of Japheth, Adamites. Men from Shem, Judeans from the house of Judah, Adamites. Another group of men from Shem who were the former house of Israel, Adamites. And individual or mongrels, offspring of different interracial groups, non-Adamites. There were very few or no Orientals, Negroes, Indians, Eskimos, etc., who Paul addressed. The Hebrew or Israelite people, as well as Adamic people, were white, which can be demonstrated from Scripture. For example, 1 Samuel 17:42. And when the Philistine, that's referring to Goliath, the giant from the nation of the Philistines, looked about and saw David, who was a descendant of the tribe of Judah, and Shem, the son of Noah, and eventually the son of Adam, Goliath disdained David, for David was but a youth and ruddy, having a fresh, healthy red complexion in the face and a fair white countenance. Were the sons of Noah the white race, or were they, as Christendom says, mid-brown? Christogenia.com presents some other arguments that Christendom has either ignored or have never heard, or if they did, they have seldom or never answered. Christogenia.com says, Deuteronomy 32:8 can only be referring to Genesis chapter 11 and the Tower of Babel event, which separated only those descendants of Noah, the white nations listed in Genesis chapter 10. Well, let's look at Deuteronomy 32:8. When the Most High divided to the nations, what nations are these? Are these the nations of the world? Are just the Adamic, sons of Noah nations, or white nations of Genesis 10. Their inheritance. Did all the nations of the world get an inheritance from Almighty God? No, they did not. When he separated the sons of Adam, when were they separated? He set the bounds of the people. Who are these people? According to the number of the children of Israel. This is the descendants of Jacob Israel, which is part of the sons of Adam. This verse says that God separated and dispersed the Adamic nations from the Tower of Babel and later kept them separate from the children of Israel. It is silent on all the other nations, races of the world, since they were dwelling far away from Israel. Christogenia.com continues. Yet the appointing of the times ordained for these Adamic nations can only be seen in the book of the prophets, especially in the prophet Daniel, who prophesied the rise and fall of great empires built upon the Genesis 10 nations. In Daniel chapter 2, the prophet interprets a dream for Nebuchadnezzar and tells him that he shall rule over the earth. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the Babylonians indeed held sway over the entire Adamic world of the time, but they never ruled over the non-white races. The non-white races are not at all considered in the biblical context as the children of men. Well, I make a comment here. Daniel is interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He tells him that the first kingdom that he saw in the vision was Nebuchadnezzar's own. That was Babylon. Followed by Media Persia, then Greece, then Rome. Well, that's most of the vision. Not much left. These empires ruled over many of the white nations of their time when it says, they shall bear rule over all the earth, Daniel 2:39. But none of these four empires, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, or Rome, ruled over all the earth. They ruled only over a majority of the white nations. None of these empires ruled over the sub-Saharan Negroes, Chinamen, Japanese, Koreans, Indonesians, Incas, Mayas, or Australian or American Aborigines. Therefore, these alien peoples cannot be imagined to be a part of the children of men and all the earth. We go back to Christogenia.com. Daniel chapter 4 records a pronouncement of Nebuchadnezzar thusly. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, all nations, all languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you, Daniel 4:1. Yet no non-white nations were the recipients of that pronouncement. Likewise, Luke wrote, as the King James Version has it, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, Luke 2:1. Yet no non-white alien nations were ever under Roman rule. Except there were a number of mongrel, Canaanite, and Arab peoples on the fringes of the world at this time, and the Canaanites had infiltrated many cities. However, the blacks of Africa, the browns and yellows of the Orient, the browns and reds of the Americas, they are all outside of the biblical context, and none of them ever belong in it unless they are a scourge or a punishment. Paul's reference to every nation of men, Acts 17:26, cannot be taken outside of the same biblical context to which Paul himself is referring. The phrase, every nation of men, or as the King James Version puts, all nations of men, can only refer to the sons of Adam, of Deuteronomy 32:8, and Genesis chapter 10. I make my comment. The all nations of men in Acts 17:26 is identical to the sons of Adam in Deuteronomy 32:8 and the sons of Noah in 10:32. We believe that it's just the white race, as they were all descended from the three sons of Noah. Now we get John Gill's view. But Christendom has a totally different perspective on these verses. Answers in Genesis quotes John Gill, who gives an opposite explanation of the meaning of Acts 17:26. In their book, One Race, One Blood, it's in chapter 6, One Flesh, it's written by Ken Ham. Quote, as John Gill, and I add, who was a hyper-Calvinist preacher in England in the 1700s, makes clear in his classic commentary, the context is that God is in charge of all things. Where, how, and for how long any person, tribe, or nation will live, prosper, and perish. To conclude that this passage forbids marriage between people groups, that's racist, is absurd. It says no such thing. When Christians legalistically impose non-biblical ideas, such as no interracial marriage, They are helping to perpetuate prejudices that have often arisen from evolutionary influences. If we are really honest, in countries like America, the main reason some Christians forbid interracial marriage is not scriptural. They forbid interracial marriages because of preconceived prejudices. Well, tell that to Ezra, who wept and tore his clothes and pulled his beard when he learned that the Israelites were repeating the self-destroying sin in Jerusalem. And what does Judges chapter 3 mean when it says that the Israelites gave their daughters and sons to the Canaanites and forsook the Lord their God and served Balaam? This should be a very important topic in every Christian church today. For most of Christendom is telling its members that it's okay to marry individuals of other races and that God approves their marriages, when less than a century ago, it was just the opposite. Who is right, therefore, is very important. It is a fact that it was illegal in 16 of the states of the United States to commit miscegenation until the Supreme Court ruled that race mixing was no longer illegal in 1967 when some of us were alive. That law was in existence for 191 years until the last 58 years when it was reversed. Make America great again. So what Christendom is now teaching would it be against the law in those states more than 58 years ago. But if miscegenation goes on for very long, the world become like it was in the days of Noah. There'll be none of God's people who are left, for there'll be nothing but mongrels on the earth. So what does the Bible say about this situation? Does it teach that a person can marry any person who says they are Christian, even a Christian Messianic Jew? Are all races related to each other? Well, now we'll get some questions about the validity of interracial marriages. What race were Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives? No matter what their race was, to have all the different races in the world today, answers in Genesis would have to believe in what they are fighting against. Evolution. They say, because they don't know for sure, that Adam and Eve and his three sons and wives were probably mid-brown in color. Think about this for a minute. How do we have all the different races in the world if there were only eight people of the same race, mid-brown, about 4,200 years ago? Now, there's no Orientals, no Negroes, no Pacific Islanders, no Aboriginals, no whites, no Hispanics, etc., were in existence at this time. That's what Christendom believes. Is it this truth or heresy? A summary of what they teach is that there was only one race until this one race was all scattered at the Tower of Babel by the changing of their languages. Groups of people were formed when they traveled with other people who were speaking the same language as they were. The people who went close to the equator changed to black individuals because their skin became sunburnt. Tell that to the Afrikaners in South Africa. The people who went to Scandinavia became white because it was cold. The people who went to Asia became yellow because, I don't know what they say. Others say that the sons of Noah and their wives had special genetics that gave them the opportunity to produce 16 different skin tones as their children. It was a quick evolution that lasted for a short time, maybe for 100 years, then it stopped. But what was the purpose of this quick evolution? What were the different races if it did? Why were there different races if it didn't mean anything? How could you get a pure race out of a different race? What was the purpose of the different races? And skin color is only one of the many differences between the races. You can't marry kind after kind and get a different pure race. And you can't marry kind after unkind and get another pure race either. You get a mongrel. If the three sons and the wives of Noah had something special that no one else in the world has ever had, there's no scriptural reference that this is true. It is only an assumption made by Christendom that the world could have many races when there was only one race to begin with. Second question, when were the dinosaurs on the earth? Were the dinosaurs on the earth many millenniums before Adam was created? Or did they live at the same time Adam lived? Answers in Genesis says it's the latter. But there's no reference of dinosaurs being in any of the Bible stories. And have you ever considered that if the flood was worldwide, all the land animals would have drowned too, except for the ones on the ark? All the animals would be in modern-day Iraq. There would have been no land animals anyplace else. No people, no animals anywhere in the world except for two or seven pairs of animals who survived on the ark and the family of Noah. It would have been chaotic when they left the ark. For where would they have gone? There'd be no food available because the ground was covered with flood water, salt for over a year. Nothing was seeded. There'd be no harvest for many years or decades and maybe even centuries. There was no fruit trees, etc. There'd be no insects either except for the ones on the ark. Why wouldn't all the animals die of starvation as well as all the people? It would take another miracle by God to have all the water subside very quickly and the ground to dry up and the seeds to produce in a very fast manner. It would take another recreation. God could do this, but the Bible omits this very dramatic and world-changing miracle. Third question. Everyone in the world is not descended from the three sons of Noah because there were many races that did not drown in the flood of Noah. The Bible, Genesis 13 through 15, mentions several groups of giants, primarily in association with the pre- and post-flood periods. These include the Nephilim, the Anakim, the Rephaim, the Edom, the Zunim, as well as the Kenites, descendants of Cain, all which lived before and after Noah's flood. The purpose of Noah's flood was to punish God's people, the Adamic man, for disobeying his law, and not the Nephilim or the other races. The Nephilim, Kenites, and other races survived the flood because they were the land other than the land where the flood occurred. The Bible is about the history of the children of Israel and its genetic enemy. The other races are seldom, if ever, mentioned in Scripture. So if they are not mentioned surviving the flood, it doesn't mean that they didn't. This would include the rest of the other races of the world, including the Norte Chico Empire in modern-day Peru. What is critical? You can disbelieve everything else, but this is the main point. What is critical is that Christian believes today and is teaching his members, that is, that the genetic enemy of God was eliminated and the worldwide flood of Noah. They teach that all the people of the earth drowned in the worldwide flood of Noah, except the eight people of Noah's family. They don't mention it out loud, but they are saying that the descendants of Cain all drowned in the flood. This presents several unsolvable problems to Christendom. Number one, if all the descendants of Cain were drowned in Noah's flood, that would eliminate the evil seed of Cain. It wouldn't matter whose Cain's father was. Whether it was a fallen angel, Adam, or pre-Adamic individuals, etc. All his descendants would be dead, and their enmity could no longer be used against the Lord in these last 4,300 years. Number two. All the curses given to Cain, who could no longer be a farmer, would now be meaningless. because Cain and all his descendants would have drowned. Number three, what would the meaning be of what Jesus said to the Edomite Jews when he told them that their ancient founding father was the murderer from the beginning if the descendants of Cain were all destroyed in Noah's flood? For the murder of Abel would have no descendants on the earth for 2,300 years when this parable was said. Number four, the parable of the wheat and tares says that both the wheat and the tares would be in existence until the end of this age. But who are the tares if all Cain's descendants had drowned in Noah's flood? What was the purpose of telling the parable if half of the individuals were no longer in existence? Number five, if there's no evil seed now, Christianity has no genetic enemy. And that is what Christendom says today, that all races are brothers. No one is the genetic enemy of anyone else. Number six, here's an important point. Would all our forefathers in Europe have been wrong when they kicked the Jews out of their lands and burnt their Talmud? The Talmud is the Jewish holy book that says that Mary, Jesus' mother, was a prostitute. You believe that? Who married a non-Israelite, they mean non-Jewish, Roman soldier. That Jesus was not divine. He was a bastard who blasphemed the Jews and their God and is now in hell, boiling in a cauldron of excrement. Number seven, if everyone on the earth drowned in Noah's flood except for one family, that would mean that all the races that exist now are related to each other. Eight, if all the races of the earth are related to each other, that would mean that there's only one race. Number nine, and if there's only one race, there's no such thing as an interracial marriage. No wonder it went from 4 to 94. Number 10, thus anyone can marry anyone of any race, and it's approved, only proved up by God if they both are Christians. But I ask again, would it be okay for a Christian to marry a Christian Messianic Jew? Number 11, but if there was only one race since the Tower of Babel, and every individual can marry any other individual on the earth, what about God forbidding his covenant people, Israel, to marry the Canaanites? That occurred after the Tower of Babel, as God forbidding marriages with the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Philistines, the Hittites, Girgashites, Nubians, Arabs, Orientals, and all the other foreigners. Christendom is saying that there were practically none of these people who were believers in the Old Testament, but now all of them could be believers. Were the following wrong? Was Martin Luther wrong? How about Henry Ford? How about King Louis IX? How about James Traficant? How about Gerald L.K. Smith? How about Adolf Hitler? How about Charles Coughlin? Gerald Winrod? How about Pastors Everett Ramsey? How about Pastor Dan Gaiman? How about Pastor Charles Jennings? Bill Fink? How about Mark Downey? How about Lawrence Blanchard? Jim Jester, Jerry Wickey, Walter Giddings, Brian Jones, who exposed God's genetic enemy. Are they wrong? Number four, what about Christendom says that there's only about being only one language older than 4,200 years? Christendom believes there was just one race and one language on the earth a century after the flood, 2,200 B.C., they were all living in Babylon, modern-day Iraq, at the Tower of Babel. If this is true, then who's living in Asia, Africa, Europe, North America, Central America, South America, Australia? Christendom answers, nobody. The earth was completely barren of any other race. All the people of the world were one race in just one city in Iraq speaking one language. This is pure nonsense. What language did the Nitric Empire in South Africa speak, for example? Number five, and what if Christian believes it's true that everyone on the earth belongs to one family, then everyone on the earth are brothers? Jesus spoke some parables to reveal things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world, Matthew 13:35. One of these parables is the parable of the wheat and tares. Both the wheat and the tares are in existence till the end of the age. But Christendom teaches that there were only 8 people in the same family who survived the flood. There were no tares. They had all drowned in Noah's flood. This is one of the most dangerous consequences of this false doctrine. They have eliminated Christianity's greatest enemy, who at one time in the past was excluded from Israelite society, but now they are ruling over every Israelite nation. King Louis IX of France rounded up all the Talmud, the Jewish holy book in France, just 24 carloads, roughly 12,000 manuscript copies of the Talmud and other Jewish books, and had them all burned. Then later, all the Jews in France were told they had to leave their nation, 1306 AD. They had previously been banished from England for only 370 years. That's longer than our country's been in existence, beginning in 1290 AD. Question, were France and England correct when they did this? Christian today says that Cain and his descendants all drowned in Noah's flood 4,300 years ago. So none of the Cainites married any of the Kenites, sons or daughters, because there were no Kenites for them to marry. So why were the Kenites so evil that God told his people to commit genocide against them and have nothing to do with them? If they had the same ancestors as everyone else, why were they so different? Why was Canaan so different from his brothers, Cush, Mizraim, and Put? So who then does Christians say the Jews are descended from? It must be, according to their theology, either Shem, Japheth, or Ham, or a combination of them. It can't be the Kenites. Why? Because they said they were eliminated in Noah's flood. So what happened in the garden doesn't matter any longer, since no one on earth today is descended from any people who lived in the garden, except for the 8 people in one family. Cain has no meaning in today's world if all his lineage died off in the flood. God put enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman because of the sins that took place in the garden. One of the consequences of these sins produced 2 main racial lines that would cause hate, conflict, and war in the world until one of these 2 signs were taken away. But Christendom has said that the war ended in a little over 1,600 years when the seed of the serpent all drowned in the flood. They say that everyone who's alive today, over 8 billion people, is from the same parents, Adam and Eve. We say that Cain and the seed could never be believers because they're not God's sheep. Cain's descendants survived the flood and Canaan intermarried with them. Canaan can't be a believer either because they're not of God's sheep. Then the Edomites intermarried the Canaanites, and they could never be a believer because they're not of his sheep. You believe what Christendom says. The Bible's account of the events at Babel confirm that all people are descended from the groups split at Babel, who are all direct recent descendants of Noah and consequently from the first humans, Adam and Eve, who were special direct creations of God. There is no basis for racism, as all people are related and comprise only one race of people made in the image of God. And buddy, that's the battle going on right now. Therefore, they are all equal and equally human. There are no individuals on the earth who do not have the opportunity to be saved. Christendom has nullified the belief in the past that Edomite Jews are descendants of at least a part of the Kenites, descendants of Cain. Or do you believe what we teach? The nations that split the Tower of Babel were the white nations who were descended from Noah's 3 sons and wives, and thus Adam and Eve. All other individuals on the earth, that is the majority, are not descended from Adam and Eve or Noah's 3 sons. Therefore, all races do not have the same ancient mother and father. God chose one group of people, Abraham and his sons, Isaac and one of his grandsons, Jacob, from one of the sons of Noah, Shem, and made an everlasting covenant with them. Answers in Genesis, or look at Genesis 12. They soon became a nation, and God became their husband and king. Why was God the husband and king over just the nation of Israel? He made the promise that his special covenant people would never be destroyed, but would suffer divine punishment if they disobeyed him. These people were the apple of his eye and were to become and remain separate from all other races of the world. Do you think that they kept this law, or do you think that they are embracing the melting pot of the world? Deuteronomy 7:6, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." To be continued, blessed be the Lord God of Israel.